Welcome back, guys, to another episode of Infinite Weekly, an extension of the Infinite Lives and Games podcast. I'm your host, Victor Diaz, also known by my gamer tag as Seth Infinite. On Infinite Weekly, we got gamer reviews, we got discussions, we got rants, laughs, we got it all. And today we are once again humbled and, oh man, that last episode we did, bro, probably one of my most favorite episodes. But yo, we got Rio Azul back on the show. If you guys have not heard the last episode we did on Bioshock, it was a very eye-opening experience, to say the least. Because I've never seen the game that way. Spoke about his music career, talking about all the symbolisms in that game. So definitely check that episode out. But today, bro, what are we talking about today, man?
Today, talking about somewhat of a still exclusive in the world in Returnal for the PS5.
A Returnal. It still is an exclusive. I don't think it's going to go on any other platform, right?
Yeah, well, I say exclusive in that it still costs people three times what it should cost them to get a PS5. So not everybody who should be able to play it can play it. That's what I mean.
I got to ask, first off, before we get into the whole content and the game and stuff, I still don't have a PS5.
Hey, listen, man. Let me tell you something right now. You are obviously one of many, and I was gifted from the universe a short story. One of my best friends, Ellis, lives out in Hawaii. He had a plug and he was going to get his, and I was happy. And, you know, I was just like, well, I'm going to wait around. And it just so happened that near my birthday, he had a plug for another one. So he was dangling it in front of me. And I'm like, man, it's either now or never. So I hit the switch on there. I turned that into fourth gear. And I threw that money down. He sent that over to me. And the most beautiful thing about it was, I think all I had to pay was shipping, but I did not pay $1,500. I paid the standard retail.
The standard amount? $99.99. Damn, that's the hookup.
Yeah, with like the tax and the shipping. So, hey, that's one of my homies out there, one of my best homies.
Yo, shout out, man.
Facts. If it wasn't for him, then this would not be a reality. And honestly, this system has. Because, you know, before this system, Vic, I was playing on a PS4 on like a 1080p, but I'm talking about base PS4. I didn't get the PS4 as soon as it got out, but like soon after, in like 2015 or something like that. And man, I have been behind in all the latest tech in terms of just in my own home. So, you know, I would go to friends' houses and it's always a different experience. But when you have
sure.
It's like, wow, I'm here now. Like, I'm not playing in the past.
Yo, that's how I feel, though. I feel like I'm in the past. I'm
like, yeah, but like, you know, the thing is, too, it's like, wait, which PS4 you have?
I got the second version, the slim down version.
Okay. Is that with the upgrades, though?
Because there's another PS4. I don't even know the name of it, but it's not, it has only one deck. The other one has like three layers.
I know.
I don't have that one. I just have the regular flat PS4. So it's probably the second version of it that came out. Because the first version, my shit blew up.
Yeah, because you don't have the Pro, but anyway.
Exactly, that's what's called the Pro. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, so, and you know, I just enjoy playing games. So even in the midst of me not having access to these astounding visuals and like this better processor and the fast loading, I was still appreciating my stuff for what it was. My Apex was running slower than all my friends, but I was still doing well.
Oh, no. Hey, It did its work. I still appreciate it. I'm tapping on it right now.
It's a jet engine, but man, that thing be working. And it still works. I still have mine working in my room, in my bedroom. So we watch some stuff on there, but the PS5, that's what the entertainment
is. Yeah, how is it though? How is the PS5?
It boots up quickly, you know, jumping in and out of games. Like the way you jump in and out of games, at least for a console, because you don't know PCs, they just rule this stuff. But as far as jumping in and out of an app, it's as fast you can think of like starting Mario Kart up on Nintendo. And that game loads fast.
Yeah.
That game loads almost instantly. It's actually incredible. But, I mean, it's a little bit of a phantom credit because that game doesn't require too much.
Too much.
So mm-hmm. It's easy to pull up. But still, that's how it feels. Just crisp, man. I mean, I also had, like, I got a whole new setup. Like, I was blessed to be able to get a brand new TV as well. So
let's go. Like, let's get it.
I'm really gaming at a bigger level now. And because of the space of my current apartment, the screen, it takes up a certain amount. It's 50 inch, so it takes up a certain amount of the wall. So it really just feels like a home theater system. All I'm missing is a sound bar right now.
Yeah, it's like you're super immersed in whatever it is that you're playing.
Yeah, man. And that's how I like to game. Like,
oh, even when I'm 1,000.
You just zone in. And, dude, there's nothing like having blinders when you're in a game and just, like, being in that moment. Like, it's very specific, and nobody can take you away from it. That's why when we get distracted as gamers, people who don't game or game often,
they don't understand.
They don't understand.
Like, you're literally knocking us over. Like, Yeah. I don't think the wifeys understand either, man. They just think that, oh, you can just pause and that's it. Like, no.
Some games you can't pause. I mean, you cannot pause in Bloodborne. You can't pause in Dark Souls. You can't pause in these hard games, man. Do it on purpose.
And those are the classics. Those are a lot of the good ones, you know?
Returnal,
man. Yeah. No, just first. Here's the thing. I saw your enthusiasm and the way you were speaking about this game. So I had to get you on this show to talk about this game. Because, like, I've seen some gameplay of it, and it looks fast. It looks smooth. It looks like a great time.
Yeah.
So please, fire away. What is Returnal?
So there's so much to talk about. Now, for people, like, in terms of, like, my gaming, I'm going to encompass this a bit. I try everything, just about. Mm-hmm. I don't really play, like, those strategy genres, like, maybe, like, Tropico and stuff like that. That's kind of not up my alley, but a lot of things like racing games, fighting games, adventure games, action games, puzzle games, strategy games, to a certain extent, like Carcassonne, I used to play a lot on Xbox 360 and Hexic HD.
Oh.
You know, and then I would play Fear or Bioshock. I would also jump into, I love my Mario Karts. I've played Crash Bash, Mario Party,
Crash, all types Bash, of games. Taking it back.
Crash Bash, yeah, you know, Jack and Daxter Combat Team.
Oh,
Racing.
Oh my gosh.
That's an underrated title.
That is a very underrated. Very, very underrated.
Yo. And I learned, you know, that game is perfect except for one thing. There's actually, like, a glitch in it or something that ruins it if you know how to manipulate it. But other than that, that is one of the best party racing games
on that PS2 era, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But, yeah, you got a lot of, like, a wide range. And yeah, I like so that.
Yeah, wide range.
Pretty much is the same thing with me. The only category that I just don't even touch, probably, like, 10%. It's probably sports.
Yeah.
You know,
unless it's extreme, because that's where I really have my fun.
But everything else under the sun, I'll give it a shot. And that's important. I think that's too important as a gamer, because games and society and times are constantly changing. So that's
exactly.
But continue, bro.
Yeah, no, and so with Returnal, the genre that this is a roguelike.
Roguelike, yeah.
So if you don't know what a roguelike game is, I've always looked up roguelike, is it with a T, is it with a K? To me, tomato, tomato, whatever. But from what I understand, roguelike, I think of it like rogue. When you go rogue, you're by yourself on a mission. So it's like a simulation of that in however way the game's world chooses to formulate that. So that is what a roguelike is. But essentially, it is a game where you play through some type of story or set rubric of rooms to an end goal, but each time you die, you have to start from the very beginning of the game. So I, since recent memory, the most recent one I've played and really loved is Enter the Gungeon.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, I remember.
Bro, let me tell you something. I wish I was streaming it, but it was on my Nintendo, so I couldn't. But man, the runs that I would have on that game were insane. You can even ask Scott. Like, oh my God, I got every ending in that game. Well, no, there's a downloadable character that's in the game now, or an update. I don't have him because he's very hard to get. I just don't have the patience anymore. But all the main cast, the two unlockable characters, the co-op character,
everything,
and the main four, I got every single ending. I went hard in that game, and that game is difficult, man. That game is difficult. So what you do is, like, usually you go into these bullet hell style rooms and they start you off nice and quaint. You know, you have like a starter pistol or whatever your weapon is. As you go through these rooms, you defeat enemies, you open crates, you get stronger, you get more powerful, all in hopes to get to the end and just win, obviously. But in Returnal's case, what makes it so unique is it has this dynamic single-player story that is very mysterious and well-told. I'm a fan of Bioshock, like the last episode, so there are audio logs or scout logs that they have in that Celine, the main character, she's speaking. And it's a slow descent into madness, but you don't know. You're on the edge of your seat because I was so interested in wanting to know what was going on. Like, the cutscenes that you have in the game are few and far between. There are not a lot, but the ones that come up, they all have to do with either getting an upgrade or some type of story element. They are fantastic. So I don't want to bounce all around right now, but to start, every time you play a run in Returnal, when you die, the times you use your guns, there's always something to upgrade. So the more you use a gun, the more it will unlock these perks, yes, on your gun as you use it. So let's say, whatever, you have the standard pistol and you have to unlock the burst fire, which is one of them. You have to kill a certain amount of enemies and there's a percentage meter that you see. And once you unlock it, then the gun is able to actually use that.
Okay.
So this, in tandem with you dying, so say you die, right? And each time you start with a random gun. The gun has a random alternate fire, and that's how they start you off. So you play off of those strengths. You know, if you have a shotgun, you might want to be close. If you have the Hollow Seeker, which is kind of an alien assault rifle that continuously shoots, you can keep your distance and strafe more. Now, when you die, you retain these upgrades for every gun. So each time you're playing, the incentive would be to, like, one of my favorite guns is the Tracheomatic Carbine, which is your standard, like, a SCAR or, an M16. But as you upgrade it, it gets beefy, and it has things like a protection where the gun will have a shield on the gun. So the gun forms a shield, and it will give you 15% more protection against damage against you.
Copy.
You can keep upgrading this per 5 levels of proficiency. Now, you might ask, what's proficiency? Proficiency you unlock by collecting these calibrators around the map, which are just like kind of proficiency increases. They're blue colored. And every time you get them, there's a meter in the bottom left corner of where your life is and stuff. And it shows levels 1 through 30. Max is 30. You start off at 1. As you increase your proficiency, when you open these crates in the game, you get various different combinations of guns with alternate fires and perks. They're all random, but they keep the gameplay fresh if you want to look at it through that perspective. So you have to embrace the RNG in this game.
Oh, Jesus.
Right? But this is the thing. This game has so many different ways of giving you good and bad luck. And honestly, sometimes you get it to points where you have to gamble, and it's about like opening a chest, right? That I just mentioned before. Sometimes either chest needs a key that you have to find. If you don't have that key, you can't open it. Or it's a regularly unlocked chest you can open. Or it's infected with malignancy. Now, this is where the game gets crazy.
This is already crazy.
So there's malignancy levels of chest. Think of it just like a virus.
Yeah.
So it goes from moderate to, I think, like very or extremely high. And there's a currency in the game that are like kind of special coins, if you want to call them. They're called ether. They're harder to get than the obelites. Obelites are just, think of them as regular coins. That's your money, obelites. So you collect obelites all throughout the game, but this ether is very special. It's like a special sap. And this ether can be utilized to open to cleanse the chest so that you don't risk a chance of being attacked. Now, the thing is, if you roll the dice and you roll right, you won't be infected. So there's a chance, a 50-50 chance you won't be infected. But if you're at a point in a run where you're super beefed up and you don't want something to
you don't want a chance.
Exactly. Then you can use that ether, because if it's a really high malignancy, the chances are whatever is in there is going to be a really good item. So that's how you have to kind of play around with it. Yeah. And as it, you know, you unlock new weapons and you figure out how these weapons work and how the enemies are placed around the map, and you start creating strategies around it. And that's a whole mouthful to start, but the visuals and music of this game, they draw you in like no other. There has been multiple moments where I am in the midst of shooting a bunch of enemies, and I am just in awe of what is happening on the screen.
Like, there's like so, because in a lot of these games, a lot of the enemies, they're like shooting waves of things or patterns or lots of colors. So it's like that in this game, no?
Yes. So each enemy, they, first of all, if you're a fan of Metroid, you'll probably like this game because it's like a 3D Metroid game. Like, straight up. Metroidvania up and down. The one biome can be huge because they're all procedurally generated too.
Right.
So one biome could be huge. Like, you could be in one biome straight up for like an hour.
And how are the biomes? Like, how do they look and feel?
So it starts off like one is like a jungle. They feel. I don't get lost because I know how to navigate on the map. I was just talking about this before. They have an excellent legend system, and that shows all the keys on the map that you need to know, whether it's, you know, a healing station, a station that you can create items, place where you can warp yourself, doors that are locked, doors that are unlocked. All of that is stated there. They give you just the bare necessities because you are an astronaut in the game, so you have like high-tech information on you. Right. But everything else you have to figure out. So when you fight these enemies, going back to their attacks, you start off, I wish I knew the names of them. I got to look more into the glossary, but one of the baseline enemies, they're blue and they look like a reptilian sentient creature. Mm-hmm. And it shoots orbs in a horizontal line.
There we go.
It's
it's
very telegraphed. So you can tell.
Yeah.
Now, in this moment, when they do that, you have a few options. You can jump over and dash. You can dash through it. Can you dash through it? Yeah, you can dash through
it. Yeah, I saw some, like, she has invulnerability when she dashes. Is that a thing?
Right. If it's those circular orbs. Mm-hmm. Some enemies do more damage. I think they might do more damage depending on the orb. I know that if you get hit with a red orb from a certain enemy, it does, like, double damage.
Right.
There's orbs, waves, beams, and... the thing is, they come in so many different trajectories. Some might dance towards the floor.
Right.
Others might shoot at you super fast.
Swirl around. And they're all on different colors and shit too, right?
Yeah, and it's a different colors because it's denoting, like, first of all, which direction you may need to dodge. You know, how many opposing pieces are on the screen so you can navigate yourself. So going back to Enter the Gungeon, they did the same thing like this. You had to dodge enemies and they would shoot beams at you, like these red beams or orbs and stuff, and it's the same concept. It's just in a 3D space.
Right.
That's why I love it so much, because it's like a continuation in like a hyper realized format.
Because there's a lot of games like this too. It's Enter the Gungeon. There's a couple other ones that are pretty popular.
Fury is a really good indie game.
Hades, right? Mm-hmm. I think Hades was it for the Switch?
Switch and Steam.
There's another one, Binding of Isaac. I remember that one. That one looked pretty good, but
that one's hard.
So I've never really fully been into these roguelike games. So what is the appeal behind them? What is the thing that sticks out for you the most that always keeps you coming back for these things?
Well, to be honest, like some of it is just okay. I'll put it in this term because this is gonna be so simple. You know when you're playing a fighting game and you're in the middle of a combo and you know what you're doing. You're like, yo, like, I'm really pulling this off. Like, this feels cool, especially whatever character you're playing. Like, it might look super cool on them because, like, that's their style.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like in Returnal.
Interesting. Yes,
I was just playing, like, for instance, I was just playing a challenge mode because if you don't want to play the full game, like, today, if you wanted to just jump on, they have daily challenges.
Okay, so
you can jump on, and they have a random array of pros and cons to your character, a random gun with different abilities, and they have a leaderboard score only for that day. And you only get one try every single day.
Oh, wow.
So it's like a bite-sized version of the game.
Obviously, you go as far as you can, right?
You go as far as you can, and the less you get hit, the higher your multiplier goes up, and you're affected by various different stats, like... how many obelites you collected, how fast you did it, how many times you got hit, all these different things, and they give you a certain score, plus you, and they negative you. Mm-hmm. And then out of everyone who scored on the leaderboards, they show you on a bar
where
graph
where you stacked up.
Yeah, like today I was against 646 people, and I came in 66 on this one.
Oh, shit, I?
Yeah, on this one thing today. So I was like, fuck, if I didn't get hit a couple of times, I could have got higher, because you could get high multipliers, and the number one person almost had 900,000. So it's a cool little like motivational thing. Some of them are extremely hard. Some of them are short and really easy.
Yeah.
But you could see, I mean, one time I got first place, but you'll just never know where you will ever land, because you can't look at the leaderboards like at the end. They're just going to be as they are at that moment.
Now, going off of that, you can't pause the game. So when you start a game of Returnal, I've heard you can't save. You have to play on through until you die, or either leave your system.
They implemented a system where now they were like, okay, I guess they were like, okay, we can't expect people to just play this in one setting.
Yeah, right.
The only way you could literally pause the game was by putting your PS5 in rest mode. And I did that a few times because I was in the middle of a sick ass run. But
which is an interesting dynamic. I mean,
I'm not mad at it, but I do wish that they could implement a setting just to have it there to not be able to save.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, because that's how it would originally came. And I don't mind that, because there's going to be people out there that are going to want to run it from top to bottom.
Oh, you already know. Speedrunners and all that stuff.
Exactly. And you just never know. And speedrunning this game is insane, because, you know, how do you speedrun an RNG? You know what I'm saying?
You don't.
Yeah, you really can't. You're just making up stats at that point.
But. Yeah.
Anyways, so they did implement a system where you can save one time, and it's called you get to suspend it. You get to suspend the game. So it is a save point, and then when you suspend it, it goes to the main menu, and that's your only save. You get it once.
Right.
So
okay.
You gotta really think about it when you do. And the thing is too, one thing I'll tell people is, like, just in general playing roguelikes, the way I feel, when you're in the mode and you're having an amazing run, try to play it out as long as you can. Because if you come back and you don't have that same adrenaline, and
it's the momentum.
That momentum. Yeah. It's like Doom. It's Doom. You keep fighting off momentum.
Right.
So
no.
You keep going and you play smart. But when you come back, sometimes I'd be trying to be like, damn, like I get mad for losing, and I'm like, man, it's just my mind ain't there.
It's like a different feeling, a different vibe. You're on a different wavelength. There we go.
Yeah, especially when you're playing against, and you're in a harder level of whatever game you're playing, and like they're hard enemies, you can't just jump in there. You got to be ready.
But that's an interesting dynamic, and it's something that I want to bounce off of. How difficult is Returnal?
Look, I'll tell you this. I would like to say that I have exceptional hand-eye coordination. I've been told, I felt it, and I know it. So you have to be on your toes in this game. It comes at you very fast. You need to be very perceptive of how enemies, you know, this is a video game thing, but in this kind of a genre, be perceptive of how enemies attack. There's an enemy in the game that I think when you scan, because you can see where dead people, like people all across the world have played and their bodies died. And
oh, like other players. Them.
Yeah, you can avenge them and you get ether for that. So that's a quote unquote easy but alternate way to get ether in the game aside from picking it up. So that's a cool, like, kind of multiplayer aspect, Dark Soul-esque kind of thing that they have.
Yeah.
With the difficulty, what were we saying with the difficulty of it?
Because you only get one save, so that adds a layer of difficulty, right? And then enemy attacks are obviously different, and every time you go in, the game is different weapons. Yeah. Different stats.
There's mini bosses that you come across that really shake the game up. And those are the ones that really test your skill to pay attention to multiple points at once. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be extremely squirrely in this game. You're going to have to look around at everything, because there's everything from healing regeneration towers that are regenerating the health of the enemies around you, and then flying enemies. And it depends on the kind of weapon you have as to how many enemies you can disperse quickly. There's something called electromagnetic pylon that can hit multiple enemies, so that would be good for flying enemies. You just come up with these different strategies, because they're going to throw you so many different things from literally so many different angles, and you have to kind of compartmentalize, okay, what's of the most importance? But at the same time you're shooting, You got to dodge and like just all these other things, you know. And this is, I'm not even talking about bosses. Bosses get crazy.
Yeah, because you got to get creative. You got to stay on your toes, right? And it's almost like an art form.
Oh, yeah. It's an art of movement. Sure. Yeah. It surely is an art of movement. Yeah.
How you tackle certain things, prioritize different targets and stuff.
And when you avenge the fallen Astra members that you find, a lot of times you have to fight enemies, but there's this one enemy in the game that they're very difficult because they shoot out purple pylons, and the purple ones you can't phase through. You have to like jump over them.
Mm-hmm.
So they shoot out these purple orbs, and they shoot out like energy fields similar to the electromagnetic pylon I told you, that it stays on the floor and it creates a gate. There's like gates that they lock you in. So as you're stuck in this room, you have to dodge, jump over these things while shooting it. It's insane. Not to mention, I meant to mention, you do have a melee in this game, and it is incredibly strong.
Oh, interesting.
But it's fair. So it's a huge piece of sheath metal that you find. You don't get to upgrade it, but there are ways to make it stronger throughout your runs. You could technically have like a really strong melee build. So
gotcha.
When you melee enemies, the stagger meter goes up much higher, and that's another thing. So you can have enemies in a staggered state that either makes it easier to jump up and melee them, or from meleeing them, if they get staggered, you get to get them with more melees, which takes away a lot more of their health. So getting in close is definitely a benefit, but you know, you got to be careful on how you do so.
Yeah. So how does it feel to switch between, you know, close range? Matter of fact, how does the game feel in general? Because I've seen some gameplay and it looks smooth as butter.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it. You know, I watched a PlayStation like vignette on like the making of the game, and just the different nuances of what they did with the technology on the PS5, and everything from when you go into a locked room and the tentacles kind of magnetize, they attract themselves towards you without touching you, and they just dance around you, and the luminescence of them, to the way each biome is. You have these open gaps and spaces, and the creatures themselves are a mix of, like, you know, something from Metroid and Alien. Like, that's just, they look ghastly, and a lot of them have tentacles on them. Very tentacle heavy game. So
it's a funny, that's another question I wanted to ask too. The kind of what the fuck factor in this game, because, you know, you keep mentioning how it's like, it's almost like Metroid, and a lot of the games that deal with aliens and this kind of atmosphere, they usually get to, they usually make you kind of just feel funny, or like, oh, what the fuck? You get what I'm saying? So does Returnal have that factor? Like, does it have a lot of what the fuck moments? And even the audio logs that you mentioned too, like, how's that dynamic? How's the story? Is it dark?
To piggyback off the last question into this, I don't really ever have a problem with my frame rate. I've never had an issue with the game. The game has actually frozen a couple times, but when I rebooted the game up, it does a lock save mechanism, where like the last thing that was of utmost importance in your run, if the game were to crash there, it comes right back to it. So
that's
actually a plus.
Yeah.
So far as I've known, I haven't looked that up. I've just experienced it. So if anybody experiences that and your game stops running, just turn your PS5 off. Don't worry. I know how freaked out you would be, because I was there. Yeah. And I did it. So I went through the pain for you. So just turn your PS5 on and you'll start right where you were. But make sure that you're going to play at that moment, or else you're going to have to sacrifice a save or just lose your run. Going into the question you just asked. So the story. Okay. The story is dark. What ends up happening is you start off, you're in a spaceship, and you crash land on this alien planet. And you realize that every single day is a loop. Like, as you play, you start to like find your body on the floor and stuff, and that's how you find these audio logs, and you realize like you're playing this entire loop, and then throughout the game you're trying to figure out why. I'm gonna tell you right now, I don't know the whole story yet.
It's, nice.
it's a bit like not vague, it's very mysterious.
The audio logs actually, is her talking on a past, like, I guess, playthrough.
She's the only voice actor in the whole game.
Oh wow.
So
the aliens don't talk. Oh, okay.
Mm-mm. They respond with their movements, and there's something about that I'll talk to you about later, but she's the only voice actress, and the delivery of her performance, I don't know the woman, let me look up the woman's name. I have to give this woman credit right now.
Yeah, that's also another big topic we can get into too. Her character herself. Celine was her name, right?
Celine, yes. Yeah. Voiced by Jane Perry.
Jane Perry. Is she a memorable character is what I'm going to ask next, you know?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, I think that she get her performance is strong and her story, I don't want to spoil too much of it really, but her story is one of one's inner madness. Like, I felt like she was trying to
battle her demons. Is that what it's about?
Yeah, and like she was so curious as to why things appeared so familiar to her. She was like, there's like a veil over her face, hypothetically speaking. Mm-hmm. She's not sure why she's going through this time loop, like why she's on this planet, why she's having these flashbacks. And as you play the game, you start to get a little bit more pieces about why that is. Even collecting the items in the games, I'm big on lore, so like there's an item in the game that is an astronaut figure. Mm-hmm. When you get that, you get an extra life, so when you die, you can get right back up. There's items like that in the game that help you along, but they have their own lore in the game. Depending how many times you pick them up and use them, there's still that status bar of how far along until you unlock another piece of lore. Like, you can get a completion bonus for knowing full well like what that item is and stuff, from encountering it, defeating it.
Interesting. A question I have is, like, is she going to be like the next Samus? You know, like high tier, what's her face? Alloy. Because here's the thing. The PS5, it's still in its infancy. And there's not a lot of games out there to it. So Returnal is kind of like the starting point.
Right.
And does it have the oomph is what I'm asking.
Yeah. I know. That's what you're trying to get at. I think it does, because I applaud Housemark for taking the genre and putting single player spice in there, like that meaningful single player spice, because you really feel like after a while, you die so many times and you're with Celine so much of the time, you get to know her better, you see what she's thinking. There's also a portion in the game where you visit a house multiple times.
On a space? What?
yes, but that's what I'm saying. It goes in with the story. It's like part of the madness that she's going through.
Oh, okay.
Yes. So
each is that house related to her or something like that? Like, is she familiar with the house?
It's her house. So they throw this in there, and I think usually you'll find it in the first biome. There's 5 biomes in the game, and you usually find it in the first biome. And you, when you go in, you don't shoot. You can't do anything. It goes into first person mode. The only times you're in first person mode are when you boot the game up, you're inside of your ship that's crashing. Mm-hmm. You're in first person mode where choose to rest, you can choose to do a daily challenge, or you can look at your statistics or go to the front of the ship where you drive. Okay, so very minimal there, but then you step outside and the game turns into third person.
And in the house is first person as well?
The house is first person because they want it to be like an interactive experience. It's a lot more creepy. It's more akin to like, not as much of the gritty darkness, but it's still creepy, of like an Evil Within, Resident Evil
kind. Ooh, okay. Of thing. Yeah, because it has that atmosphere. It has that flavor.
Exactly. Mm. So you learn about her in the house and a lot more of her life and her family and things like that. And again, I don't want to get too much into what I know, the little that I know of the story, but it's fun to come across it, because I think, too, that's going back to your question. That is a driving factor in this game. You want to learn more. Once you step in that house, after you do certain things, every time you see the house, you want to go back there and see if there's a new vision that comes to you, because there are benefits to that. So I'm a story heavy guy, and
totally.
You know, I want to come back to this and see what's going on here, and it keeps you driven. So Celine, I would say visually, her look, there's nothing like outstanding about her, which is fine to me. She's an older woman who's an astronaut, but both of her eyes are different colors. She has like a blue and a brown eye. So that gives her a little bit of
character.
And it goes with, you know, she's an astronaut. So the sun and the moon, and it goes with other things in the game that you start to see. You're playing through the game as her, going through this crazy adventure, but really, like, the spectacle are the monsters and the aliens that you see, because these things in the game they're so fun to play against. And again, as I said, as you dwindle their health down, the music starts to swell. And that's where, like...
Yeah, how is the music, by the way? Does it get more intense? Triumphant. Triumphant. That's a big word there. All right, we'll take it.
Triumphant, man. It is. You feel like, you really feel like a badass. Like when you do the alt fires and you dodge out of the way at the right time. And then I didn't even mention there's, bro, once you get the grappling hook in this game, your movement becomes stellar. It is the most significant upgrade I'd say you get outside of like the, outside of the melee weapon. And the cool thing is, I noticed, when you grapple, you're completely invincible. So I can leave a grapple for the last second. As long as that cursor is there, I will zip to that spot, and I will not get hit by anything.
So it's certain spots that you can grapple to, not like everywhere?
Not everywhere, and they're denoted by... Because when I first started the game, I'm like, yo, why are these orange circles on these rocks? And I kept trying to get to them, and I'm like, yo, I don't know how to do this. And it took me literally dying a few times to be able to do it, because in order to get the grappling hook, you have to beat the second boss. Okay. So that's how you unlock that, and that changes the gameplay immensely. Because another thing in the game is you'll come to a door that is golden. There are red, blue, and golden doors. And blue doors are either an alternate path, which is denoted by a triangle, a square path, that's like light blue, that denotes a main path, or a red door, which denotes a boss room, or a golden door, which is a challenge room. The challenge room is always covered with an alien on the front. And at first, I never knew that I could just shoot the alien and it would unlock the door. I thought I needed some other thing. And I looked it up. I'm like, that's all I had to do.
Dang. So,
yeah, just I was too afraid. And that's the thing in this game. You got to try things out in order to figure out what you like that, and though. What works.
Yeah.
So I shoot the alien down, you go into the challenge room, and you know it's a challenge room because it looks like an arena setting. And there's different types of hazards. There might be lava on the floor, so you got to watch your feet there. Or they might have a grappling hook in there. Might have a lot of cover, that unbreakable cover that's really good to hide behind certain enemies' attacks. Gotcha. So it's like you got to be like, all right, how am I going to get around this? Jump around like a rabbit. Kill all these enemies. And then upon clearing the challenge room, there's like 2 to 3 waves. You get rewards. You get unlocks in the form of like a key to unlock a door or a new weapon or a health upgrade or an item or something like that. The way I play, I try to go through literally every single room in a level before I continue on, because it gives me the highest probability of beefing my character up. Mm-hmm. It gives me the highest probability of finding all the items I want and need, and also finding the health that I'm gonna need. Because when you find health in the game, if you're at full health, you take the health, but it goes into like a spare canister on the left side of your health. If you get 3 of those, you increase your health. Ooh. So the less you get hit and the more health you collect,
that incentive, yep, health. Exactly. I like that. Yeah,
exactly,
because it pushes you to get better.
Exactly. And you know, honestly, that dodge button, it could be your best friend or your enemy. It's just all about timing. This game is all timing, precision, and just like coordination. So it really teaches you how to like multitask at a very
fast pace
rate. Yeah, at an intense rate. So the biomes, they go from jungle to desert wasteland to, let's just say, it kind of does the first level again, but it looks a little different. It's like derelict at that point, like
derelict biome. And probably different colors too, shades of color, right?
Yeah, different shades of color for sure. It's more greenish and stuff. The first one is kind of like more jungly cool vibes. Then the second is like reddish on somewhat of a Mars kind of planet. Gotcha. The third one is more greenery, like more overgrown, you know, moss and whatnot. The fourth one is like a frozen wasteland, so it's like ice. And then the final one is really cool because it's completely underwater.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that one.
Yo, and... what happens in that one is they throw off your gravity.
Right. So yeah.
So jumps that you used to know, like you can jump way further and stuff now, but you still got to calculate because you still fall. But you have that. You have these, you know, those enemies with all the eyes and stuff and like the tentacles that follow behind them, like from the Matrix movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The machines.
Yeah. Those machines. There's literally like those underwater and they're kamikaze though. So you got to shoot them before they hit you. Like,
that's annoying.
While the water's around you, the audio changes because it makes it sound like you're underwater.
How long this playthrough of like all the domes, like how long is a usual playthrough? How long does it take to beat the game, do you think?
I'll tell you this. When I finished the game at 33 hours and 47 minutes.
Oof. Yeah. 33 and hours. And that's one. That was your first playthrough, I guess?
Well, my first completion.
Okay.
That's across multiple playthroughs. I don't know how much one is, but there's already people that are trying to like speed run and stuff. But I like to take my time, and that's like a full playthrough. Like that, you know, you're usually, that's why they added that save option, because they understand like this is a long time. But it also depends on how you play. Like, you don't have to run through every single area in the game. You can go through just the main areas and you can progress. It's gonna be hard, but you can progress through. So your playthrough can be incredibly short, but the chances of you really surviving on the later areas is very difficult. It's like doing a Dark Souls playthrough where you just fight with your fists. Like, it's ridiculous. People have done it.
You know, I like the fact that the game incentivizes you, like you were saying in the beginning, right? Use a certain gun so you can increase its power, right? Or to get the next upgrade. Yep. And it incentivizes you to not get hit so you can have more health. And it incentivizes you to maybe explore more. And even those optional challenges. And I think that's the very definition, wouldn't you say, of a roguelike, is like it gives you so many options with everything in the game.
You can create your own playthrough. They give you a lot of options. And there might be a time where you're on a roll. Oh, the one thing I meant to add to the end of this is that an extra incentive to getting stronger and not getting hit is your adrenaline meter. So per enemy you kill, you get 0.3 adrenaline added to the meter. Okay. So it takes 4 enemies to reach, I think, adrenaline 1, if I'm not mistaken. And what that does is it's a meter at the bottom of the screen. It goes up to 5.0. And if you maintain yourself like that, you get bonuses to your character that do not go away except for one. And I can't explain which ones they are.
Even if you die?
Regenerating. If you get hit, they'll go away and you reboost your adrenaline.
Okay.
It's a constant in the game. Now, there are 5 buffs that you can get. Level 1, enhanced overload means that it's easier to perform a powered up reload by enlarging the target area. This is another thing that they brought up. See, there's so much content in this game. You have an active reload in this game, akin to Gears of War. So what that does is it allows you to shoot your gun faster. I don't think there's an extra damage boost to that. It's not that way in like Gears of War, but it allows you to shoot faster. So what happens is it's like the typical mini game. You deplete all your bullets, which every gun has infinite ammo, but a certain number of rounds in a clip. You understand what I mean?
Right. Yeah, because it'll reload, but you have infinite ammo. Yeah.
Right. So if you pay attention to that and you have buffs like this that help you do better at instant reloading, you're going to be shooting these enemies at a rapid pace. It keeps the pace of the game going up. So level 1 is enhanced reload, and that allows you to, it makes it easier for the little mini game of the line going, there's like a line that goes across your
I got reload you. Screen. Yeah. Just like in Gears, I remember.
Exactly. So you got to press R2 and that's it.
At that moment, wherever that line may be. Mm-hmm.
Right. Level 2. Enhanced vision allows you to see enemies through objects as represented by a red pulsating wave. So you already have, when you click down on the R3 button, you are able to scan your environment and see all the enemies that are around you. So you have an idea of where they're going to be. But when you're level 2 with the adrenaline, you can see enemies through objects. So you're going to have X-ray vision at that point.
Gotcha.
So anytime you go into a room, you'll be able to kind of get a scene of, you know, where you want to go first or what enemy you might want to avoid.
Or where it might be like behind the corner or something, so you can prep for it. Yeah. Right.
Yeah, you could do it as a kind of a reconnaissance, and you have unlimited uses of the scan radar. Level 3 is enhanced melee attack. It reduces your melee cooldown time. So this is a really good buff because, like I said, melee is very strong in this game. Mm-hmm. So you want to remain not getting hit. One thing too, before I finish level 4 and 5, when you get hit, you go back to level 1. You don't go from level 4 to 3.
Oh, it takes it completely away. I got you.
Yeah, you got, so that can shift the entire fight in a room. If you're fighting difficult enemies and you have level 3 and your melee is awesome and you have 3 grounded enemies,
but you get hit by one little thing,
you get, that's it, it's over. But you get to regain it back. So that's hoping that there's a lot of enemies in a room, because then it'll be easy for you.
Mm-hmm.
Level 4, proficiency rate +50% and increases the rate you gain proficiency with your equipped weapon. This is huge.
Yeah.
So if you're at level 4, that means that however your proficiency rating is going up already, super, it's going up 0.5% buff to what it already been. So if you picked up a calibrator, it was supposed to give you a little blip on your proficiency bar. Now it's going to boost it up a whole lot more,
right,
which is going to help because in the end game, you want to be like level 30 to fight this last boss. Like at level 30 is where you unlock all, like every single possible upgrade to the weapon.
Every weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like this system because it makes it also easier for somebody who has been playing the game for a while to easily get back into it. Or, you know, to get to max level, to get to the hard spots faster.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this feels like second nature after a while when you get into the mix of it. Like, it feels fantastic. But let me get to level 5. Your obelites, it increases by 50% the number of obelites you receive from defeating enemies. This is huge because when you come across areas to buy items with the obelites, this is going to be really important because there are items in the game that can further increase the amount of obelites you get for like a 30-second window. Enemies might drop more obelites, or there might even be one where you have heal yourself with obelites. So if you're on low health and there's no health around, you can pop an item that allows you to transfigure obelites into integrity. Integrity is the game's form of health. That's all that is.
Okay,
so if you're in a tight spot, you can sacrifice money for health in that moment if you so choose. So that's really cool. And the thing is, the obelites go away. So when you fight enemies, you kind of got to stay there for a second so you can pick them up. They don't like magnetize to you. There are abilities in the game
that
you get that have them magnetized to you. You have to run like around them because if you don't do that, you won't get it. And I forget that a lot and I don't have as much money as I want to have because I'm not paying attention to that.
So what else can you say, like, you know, starting off the game or so somebody that is thinking about getting into a Returnal.
Mm-hmm. I will definitely say try to set a nice mood in your room when you play it because I have these lights behind the cabinet and I turn them on and I set them to a certain color depending on like the biome or something. And even if you don't have that, just set like some type of a mood because when you play this game, you want to play it the right way. Things that have an atmosphere to it, the best way to play is to put yourself kind of there. So try to do that when you can, you know. It's going to engross you in it more. And when you start out, pay attention to how the enemies attack because that's going to be your key in getting through the game. There's this one enemy in the game that they're like bats or they fly like bats. And they are so annoying.
It's always them flying enemies, man.
Yo, they charge up. And the thing is, if multiple are charging up, you can shoot them to stop them, hopefully kill them. But if you're not going to be able to kill one in time, it's either going to charge into you faster than you expect or you'll be able to dodge out of the way. It's hard to gauge when they're going to hit you, though. So that's why it helps to get behind like cover that doesn't break and stuff, too, against these enemies. Because that's the difference between having level 5 adrenaline and starting from the beginning. So that's what I'm kind of trying to say. Like, you have to think about these things. It's like, is it worth getting hit right now? If it's super early in the game, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you can make up for it.
Yeah, you can make up for it. But also, again, you want to keep increasing your health. So all the health you collect, you really want to just transfigure that into extra health by having full health. So just don't get hit. Don't get hit. And you'll be fine.
I mean, that's easier said than done.
Of course, it's incredibly difficult, you know. But again, like, I feel like when I played Enter the Gungeon and Fury, those two games, they prepared me so well for this one. And it's just fun to just keep jumping into. You always have a new experience. And like, man, when I used to play Enter the Gungeon, the thing is like, this is why I wish I was able to stream when I played it, because there's stories behind these runs, man. Like, these are like...
Yes, a whole experience on a whole different day.
Nah, there are stories behind. You get crazy gun combinations or like whatever you get. Even in Returnal, you just get a certain set of things and everything's working in your favor. And you're like, yo, this run was perfect.
Crazy.
It's perfect. You're going to get moments like that. As discouraged as you get, you're going to play through. And even if you lose, you're going to be like, damn, they really were setting me up for success right there. They were setting me up for success.
They was
and
blessing.
The game recognizes when you get increases, like upgrades and stuff, or like if you have, that's the last thing I wanted to talk about, parasites. Mm-hmm. There are things in the game called parasites, and they attach to your body. You can hold up to, I think, 5 all attached to your body. And each of these parasites comes with a permanent pro and a permanent con.
Always.
Like, and this is...
Interesting.
Yeah,
interesting.
Every time. So, like, one may shorten your alternate fire reload time by 2 seconds or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the downside to it will be enemies, when killed, will drop a pool of acid.
So yeah, it can make your life difficult.
Bro, it goes from everything from, if you're standing still and shooting, you do 75% less damage.
Shit.
Yeah, so that's the thing. You never want to stand still, too. You want to stay moving. But things like that, if you fall from a great distance, mm-hmm. there's others that can make you take damage from falling high.
Fall damage.
The key to getting around that is jumping from a high distance and then dashing.
That's a lot, man.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So there's multiple ones. They all have different names. And some of them are incredible. Some of them can really make your run way easier. But it's always random. So there are machines that are able to remove the parasites. But they'll do it at random. So you don't get to pick the parasite.
Yeah.
It'll just pick a random parasite.
Wait, are the parasites in the chests as well too? Or no? They're just like on their own?
Parasites you usually find scattered when you kill an enemy, or just like in areas around the world, you'll just pick them up. They're purple.
Copy.
So you have a choice to pick them up. You don't have to, but sometimes it'll just make your run too hard and it's not worth it.
And again, yeah, you got to think about it.
Right. Oof. So, yeah, they change the game up immensely when you have multiple on you. You can have all these buffs on you, but you got to play extra careful. Maybe melees are much weaker. And you're not going to be able to melee enemies in like 2 hits. It might take 4, you know? So things like that make a huge difference. You can also enhance your blade 1 time. You can make it stronger and be able to break through yellow barriers.
Yeah.
Because in the game, there are some barriers that you can't just slice through. You have to get your blade upgraded. And that gives you special item or something. There's also vines around the game. If you find the vines, you cut through the vine and you can just get whatever's there. All you need is a melee though.
Are there any other mechanics or anything else you wanted to say about the game? Because, like, we have to actually play it, right? Because I'm lost as to how many possibilities and how many things could possibly pop up in one playthrough.
Right. And, you know, that's what I'm saying. It's to me, it's one of those games that's very difficult to explain because you just have to experience it. Of course, it's going to sound so complicated, me talking about it to you, because I'm trying... In this interview, I know I talked about a lot, but I'm trying to feed as much information as I possibly can from what I know without like spoiling the story. Because the gameplay, you're going to get into that loop. But I want listeners to be prepared for certain things they may come across to help them out. I dropped a lot of little gems in this, right? Because I go online and I see the tips that people post up, and I'm like, oh, I already knew that. Okay, I didn't know that, but I knew that. So I kind of figured out a lot of it already. I've just beaten the game once, so I plan on beating it a few more times because I want to get some more achievements. But the final, I think, important piece of info in the game is this. So you were talking about, do you have to play the game 1 time through? No, you don't. You have the save, but there's also these areas in the game called regeneration stations, I think. And if you give it 6 ether, when you die, it's like for that biome, it is a checkpoint. And I say keywords that biome because one time I placed one in, I think, biome 3 or 4. And when I got to biome 5, I died. And I'm like, yo, what's going on? I got a regeneration station. You cannot carry them over. They're like, oh, no, that's too many chances.
Right. Wait, hold on. So if you have put it in the 3rd one, right, and you make it to the 5th one and you die in the 5th one, what happens? Do you start the 3rd one or you start over, period?
No, if you have one set in the 5th level, you go back to that point.
Okay.
Yeah. There's one other thing that I overlooked, by the way, in terms of the adrenaline levels. Once you reach level 5 adrenaline as well, you get an overshield. So what that does is it prevents you. It basically eats 1 hit of damage. So it doesn't matter what it is. You'll eat that damage. So you get a free hit. once you hit level 5. And again, this keeps regenerating. Every time you get hit, you can just get back to level 5 adrenaline and regain that shield again. But you got to fight for it. Literally, you have to fight to get it.
No, you just got to get better and better, right?
Right. And like the most luck, if you ever find yourself in a situation where you're able to get to a in like level 5, you can get to like a regeneration station. You have the astronaut that gives you an extra life. You're at adrenaline level 5. And you have a suspend left. You got plenty of chances, my friend. So just so you know, there are backups on backups on backups.
I appreciate that. No, because you're going to need them, right?
Yeah, they come in handy.
But yo, I want to end the episode there. I think we got a lot of good stuff into what Returnal is. And you definitely dropped some good stuff on here. I definitely want to play. I think one of the last questions is, do you recommend people to pick up Returnal?
Yes, 100%. One of the best PS5 games out there. It was my game of the year last year.
Oh,
Maximilian's game of the year too. Yeah, it was my game of the year. I don't know if I told you about that, but it was definitely my game of the year. I found it. It's not the game I played the most, of course, because I play a lot of Apex Legends and stuff, but it was a spectacle. And I got the PS5 around my birthday, so it was just an amazing treat that I got soon after, referred to by my friend Scott. You know Scott, of course, shout out to Scott. He told me it was right up my alley after learning, you know, I love Enter the Gungeon and stuff. The one thing I will say is, if you like sci-fi, if you enjoy story, if you're into like killer gameplay, like a lot of flashing lights, this is a great game to pick up for real. If you have a PlayStation 5, it's definitely a treat. I still have to get the secret ending, which I haven't gotten yet. I'm playing through the game now to unlock that. There's an alternate ending.
Let's get it. And
hey, if they make a Returnal 2, that would be amazing. It's too early. I don't even want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. That's not how I feel. But, you know, as this game grows, who knows? Maybe there's going to be some dope downloadable content they can add in addition to the story.
Or
you know?
For sure.
So whether or not it's something to further the story or give a hint, like Control did with their DLC, they have really great DLC as well. It's just a great ride.
And who knows, this could lay the groundworks out for other future roguelike games too, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's doing something really big with that genre. That's what I appreciate about it. So being immersed in a world like that is pretty amazing. And I love the adrenaline rush, 100%.
Hey, I'll take that 100. Last but not least, bro, as always, you know, I want you to shout yourself out, man. Get your stuff out there, your Twitch, all your other beautiful content, because I know, you know. So let's hear it, bro.
Yeah, I've been, like, really, like, leaning into my geekdom and nerddom lately. I've been doing a whole lot of drawing and painting and putting. I'm trying to put out more gaming content. But if you like anything I said today, you can see me at twitter.com/Rio_flows. I'm really into streaming just when I play, so if you want to check me out playing this game as well, I'd like to check me there, or Apex Legends, or sometimes I do in real life streams where I just talk. So you could catch it at twitch.tv/trust_intuition. Changed it instantly for Rio Flows. I do have music on every streaming service, really, Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal. Just search Rio Azul. And I have a new album coming out very soon.
Let's go.
It's like almost a year to the day in Pittsburgh, so it'll be coming out soon. It's gonna be on vinyl. It's gonna be some press promotion for that, so look out for that. And lastly, if you would like to buy any merch, I have a shop open online, and I'm adding more stuff to it, so it will be the River of Understanding shop.com.
Nice. Let's do it, man. And I appreciate you once again for being on the podcast. Always a great time, and I like doing this review stuff, man. Gonna get some more of it into this whole podcast dynamic, and that's probably one of the biggest goals I have this year with this podcast, is to kind of expand on it, not only just with games but with different forms of art. But that's going to come down later. And everybody, if you guys have not seen that last episode, once again, on topic of Bioshock, his musical career, and just all the philosophical thoughts and things behind that game, also check out that episode with Rio Azul. It's been a pleasure talking again. As always, guys, I want you guys to stay healthy, stay safe, and of course, stay infinite.